shopping for an hour and a half, mate. Just leave you to it, because I knew you.
I said, look, he's a bit new to the game. He's probably gone
to
the gents.
Yes, absolutely. No, I had gone to the gents. Yeah, I had gone to the gents. Yeah.
Switched off.
But you know, there's another thing here. Whoever came up with their name, the Wandsworth Bunny Hand Dry.
Innovative thinking.
Yeah. Works well, doesn't it? Yeah.
Or death, cultural death. Right, let's put this down. Yeah,
we'll give him another call now.
Just give him a few more minutes. We'll give him a few more minutes. Well, you know, we don't want to start and then have people coming down the end. I'd much rather...
See, when you're sharing, you want to start the time.
How you doing? You all right?
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. We're away from tax. We're doing something completely different. Fantastic. We're going to be unusual business thinkers today. We're going to find all sorts of exciting things to think about. Right.
Well, it's just they want to go, isn't it?
Right. I give it another minute, Henry, just so that we don't have, because otherwise they're just going to start pushing in and then it's going to be disruptive.
It's not a real, well, I mean, we'll probably take all the time we need, but it's not so structured that it matters.
No, exactly. It's very free form. Brian and I already know how we're going to handle it, so it's just going to be, I'm just going to sit down and let him talk.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
That's about the right number.
A posse of... The collective name, I always think, for past presidents is a posse.
A posse of past presidents?
Yeah. Or actually, no, it can be a cacophony, because they make bloody noise. You won't know until you go to the past president's
house.
You go to the past president's house, and you'll know.
Yeah, we're about on the 40.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone all right?
I don't want to make
things
knockety.
We're expecting 40. That's about 40 now, isn't it? So we're okay. We're going to give them another minute or so. We're not going to... I'll just feed them into the back. Yeah. Take 2 minutes. They're still coming in. Well, that's the number we're expecting, 40. We've now got 40 and they're still just dribbling in a bit. So we just give them, say, one more minute before we push back.
Rethink, changing, coming to here and saying...
Well, I think 40 was the number we were expecting.
That's quite good, isn't it?
13.
I'm hoping Derek Allen will get it to you, because I'm embarrassed for a good friend of mine.
Yeah, I made that 46, that's about right.
It's quite good with the old Gigi then.
Yeah.
I get about 10.
It's a clicker, the old customs exercise clicker, isn't it?
I get about 10. Where was that?
Many. It's like counting sheep, you know, when you count ewes and lambs in a field and they're all moving around, that's very difficult. Jack. As opposed to Gareth, yeah, absolutely. God, they're coming in, aren't they?
You're up to more than...
Jane, I know, we're over it. We're
over it.
Yeah. We've got extras. Jane?
I put some more out on the table.
Yeah, you're right. Right, well, I think that's about it. I think we should...
So we're going to push back now?
Push back. Doors to manual and cross-check.
Yeah. I've just got to go out and spin the props.
Still coming in.
Staying on.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
So is this a Sopwith camel, or is this something...
Contact. whistling the Dam Busters tune.
It's still got the peck of the string, isn't it?
We're
going to test the structural integrity of our Sopwith camel doing this.
Victoria, you might just be able to squeeze in the back there, ma'am.
Thanks. You're asking a lot.
Oh, okay, you done it. Okay.
Paint the line of least resistance.
Yeah.
Hey.
Right, well, I think we're going to call that it. I mean... The pito heads. Unfreeze the pitos.
We just put a couple of extra jerry cans on the wings just in case we need them. Mike's going to wing walk and fill the tank.
Wing walking.
You're a bit of damn buses, couldn't you?
You're going to whistle the damn buses, Junior, yeah. Right.
Should have done that. So yeah. Come over there.
I can't do that.
Where we're sitting, just come over there.
Right, let's go.
Warming up in here already.
Right, ladies and gents.
Good morning, everybody. I'll just wait for Maxine to sit down. No pressure whatsoever. In your own time. There you go. Marvellous. Well, welcome back, everybody, and welcome back, and well done for being nearly on time. So we'll nearly let you have that. I'm told this is quite a flexible talk today, so they'll do everything they can to accommodate the late arrivals. We won't mention any names, though, Max. Sorry, I said that out loud. Just want to introduce the two speakers. I think most of you probably know both of them. Michael Steed and Brian Palmer, who are going to run this session on innovative thinking in business, which I'm really looking forward to. Michael Steed, a lot of you will have probably seen this morning. Michael Steed is a well-known tax presenter. He's a special interest in SME tax issues and advises them on a regular basis.
I see what you're going to say.
Michael sits on council of the ATT and is a member of its tax technical committee. Now, Brian Palmer, what do we know about Brian Palmer? It's a bit worrying. I've got this much for Michael Steed and I've got this much for Brian Palmer. And
I cut it right down for you.
You did, didn't you? Yes. Yeah. Now then, it says here, as a past president of the AAT, Brian Palmer is a bit of a fossil. Yeah. In common with many AAT members, after leaving school, Brian had to check a job history.
I thought your punctuation right was, I was ever a bit of a fossil.
Look, who's doing this speech, me? Turning his hand to many things. Doesn't say what on here, but we'll use our own imagination, I think. Until at the age of 24, he found accountancy. Wow. Yes. Wow. Ooh. Was this an epiphany, was it? Brian started Palmer & Co. Why did you choose the name Palmer & Co then? Innovative thinking, yeah. Exactly. That's right.
I wanted something no one would think of.
Fair enough. In 1944, sorry, 1994, sorry, a general accountancy practice in Bournemouth, which over the years grew from a modest home business to a high street practice. Now, how familiar does that sound, eh? In 2000, he doesn't look old enough, does he? Brian was co-opted onto AAT Council, and if that was not enough, wait for it. He rose through its ranks to become president in May 2006.
I think rocketed is the word you're looking for.
Rocketed. that's what it says here. It just says rose. don't big yourself up too much, okay? Since dropping off council, as we all do eventually, Brian has maintained his involvement with AAT behind the scenes by acting as a representative with HMRC on all things tax at the highest level. That's all I've got to say. It says Henry sits down now and hands over to Michael and Brian. Thank you.
Right. Great.
Thank goodness.
God, we're more than capacity here. I think we were expecting 40 and we're over 50 already. So, Mia, bar the doors. We can't take any more. Lord. Okay, right. So what's this one all about? Brian and I have got our heads together. We've sort of double-headed before on these events, and we know each other through sitting on the ATT Council as well. So we have quite sort of a fairly shared history here. And we thought we'd do something completely different, because accountants are by their very nature, they're very logical thinkers. And what we thought we'd do is kind of shake you and jolt you a bit in this very informal, hopefully fun session, to get you to think more like businessmen and women that perhaps you're going to be coming into contact with. And so we're going to get you to use some techniques, and these are techniques which can be learned. It's not just something you're either born with or you're not, to actually get you better at thinking, well, I hate the phrase, but outside the box, in an unusual way. And so that you can then empathise with your clients and you can actually use these techniques to further your own business. So yeah. That's effectively...
the emphasis, isn't it? We're looking... your clients, but it also is relevant just to you and your own business if you're thinking of running one.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all about just thinking in unusual ways. So we've got some slides we put together here, but also we've got some things for you to do. So it's going to be very much an interactive session. It won't just be the Chuckle Brothers up the front there. But we... But the key thing about innovative thinking, you know, who are the innovative thinkers? I mean, the obvious ones that come to mind are people like sort of Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. Do you take the point? James Dyson, you know, the guy who got innocent smoothies and all that kind of stuff. They very often take an idea and move it just 2 degrees to one side, and they've got a total winner on their hands. And that's what we want to do. We want to try and get our heads thinking about those sort of, and seeing what we can learn. So what we've got in this hour and a half session is a bit of a pilgrimage that Brian and I have put together. But we really want to put this bit in front of you, that innovative thinking is a core skill. It's a key skill which is going to help you do these things, to spot business opportunities, new ways of running your practice perhaps, understanding risk. A lot of people are risk averse here, but if you don't take no risk, you don't get no rewards. That's the basic shape on that.
And it all goes beyond that as well, doesn't it? We were saying about the fact that some of the people who come to see you, you know, that you might think they're almost mad in some of their ideas, but they may just see it from a slightly different angle than you do. So it's actually not condemning, you know, what they're doing sometimes, but just sort of
trying to understand it.
About it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'd be surprised. Yeah. One or two of these other things that they probably said, "Oh, I'm going to do so and so."
How many of you have that
with a bag or whatever?
How many of you have had that scenario where somebody's come to you with a proposal and ask your views, and you're thinking secretly, "You must be completely loopy." Yeah. Go on, put your hands up. Who's had that? You see, absolutely, Catherine. Do you want to share one of them with us?
Internet was the first question, and they tried to explain it to me as a fossil, and I sort of said okay, you know, went and advised the parents not to sink too much of the other company's money into it, and that business is now turning over somewhere in the region of about $4 million a year, employs about 12 staff, and has gone from strength to strength over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, but your first reaction?
My first reaction was, it'll never work.
Yeah.
That's exactly the sort of thing I was trying to tease out. You know, it can seem quite a bizarre idea. It's no legs from, you know, oh, my experience, it doesn't work, but, you know, can
you've got to, you know, think unusually. You're going to share one with us? Did you have one, Amir?
Yeah, you know, when they come to you with an idea and you think, oh, no, that sounds just a really bad idea. That if you just spend time talking it through, because they see things that you don't see.
Yes, so that's exactly right.
And we talked the whole idea through, and he told me all his reasons why he wanted to do this. So at the end, I knew where he was coming from, and he knew where I was coming from. Actually, it didn't quite work out the way he wanted it to. But when we had a further meeting down the line and it hadn't worked out, we went through it again, and I told him all the reasons why he wanted to do it. Because that he told me from these notes, and then he said, "Yeah, I needed to do that. He needed to do it." And when I talked to him, he went through. Yes, we could both see, you know,
right.
He was still glad he did it, even though it didn't work out the way he wanted, because he had this creative idea that I could see.
There's a critical point, Tim. Just a second, if I may. There's a critical point there. And actually, it's the principle that some people call the freedom to fail principle. And that is, if you don't go out and try it, then you won't accrue that valuable experience. And if you know, very often when you talk to innovators, entrepreneurs, people who are successful, the innovative thinkers, they often say, I had 6 that failed before I had 1 that went. Mm.
Yeah.
And I think that's a critical piece. Tim?
Sorry, yes, I want to just give one very sort of short example, but I think it's about having that leap of faith.
Yeah.
iPhones and stuff, but the young people like them. And what he wanted to do was he wanted them to sell those on eBay at $4.99. He's now in the tax bracket. So he's made
yeah.
It's paid for him to go to UK.
Yeah, that's what we like. Okay, so that's very much what we're going to be talking about. Is that a point there?
Yeah, I'm just thinking we don't only have to look at today. We're in Bristol, and we can look at Isambard Kingdom. Mm. And he innovated. People probably thought he was mad on a lot of things he did. Not everything worked. His atmospheric railway down in Devon failed miserably.
Yeah. You know, no, actually, I think that's
all now,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It's all mainstream. And
yeah.
If he hadn't done those things, a lot of
yeah, new materials and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely. So it's all about that. That's the path we're going to be going on. So it's a little bit of this is going to be showing you some techniques as to how to employ innovative thinking. And then we're going to go on a bit more of a pilgrimage, which is the sort of that pilgrimage through entrepreneurship and then onto successful businesses and just sort of pick up a few points on there. So we're going to use the innovative thinking things to actually extend this, because this is called innovative thinking and its applications. So, different forms of thinking. What sort of thinking do you do as accountants? Edward de Bono, who was a big 1960s name for all sorts of good things on the way the brain works, and you know he's one of these kind of revered characters. He said that you can basically put thinking into two boxes: the sort of things that accountants are good at, vertical thinking. And the sort of thinking that innovators and very unusual creative people do, they are the lateral thinkers. And it's that, the lateral thinkers, what we're going to be calling the innovative thinkers, that are the key people here. So what do you mean by vertical thinking? I mean, the sort of things that we're all good at as accountants.
Yeah, it's what we're comfortable doing, isn't it? People who do accountancy or tax, they're very much, they like their lists, they like their logical sequence.
Yeah.
They like to be able to go back and look at a statute or whatever it is,
yeah.
And say, well, this... we do this, that will happen, and not perhaps challenge it so much.
That's exactly. So that's the sort of thing that we're all good at, you know, as accountants, very good at. But this is the bit that I want to really major on in the first part of this toolkit. This unconventional approach, where we're actually going to deliberately disrupt the sequence of your thinking. We're going to go and tackle difficult problems in different ways. People talk about going for away days or turning things on their head, don't they? Let's really disrupt this. Mm. And one of the key things that de Bono and his colleagues came out with is that you won't be successful as a lateral innovative thinker if you carry on in your same groove and try and think about it on the bus home. You know, these sort of things are just not going to come to you. Mm. So we're going to tease that point out as we come through these slides. But I think the key thing is for us to note as we go through this pilgrimage that this is not some kind of chance process. You don't walk down the road and have this kind of light bulb moment. Some people do, but what we're trying to do is to train a skill and to get you to think in this unusual way. So it's not just a talent. It's something that actually can be learned. Although our point's going to be that some people are more receptive to it than others. So let's develop that sequence a little bit, because Brian and I are going to set you a little task in just a second.
I would just emphasise, a lot of this lateral thinking, you don't need to go backwards, but a lot of it is if you employ it on your own business, you know, or your own activities, first of all, you know, it will pay dividends, and then it will also put you in the right frame of mind for dealing with clients.
Yeah. So we've got three boxes where this is going to be hopefully useful. One, as Brian says, in your own business, and make your own business a bit more unusual and therefore turn that into money. The second thing is empathising with your clients and being more where they want to come to talk to you, because you actually give them ideas. You're the voice of reason and sanity, but you're also open. So that's the second thing. But also, let's face it, sometimes we see business opportunities and we want to exploit them. So there's a possibility of that too. Who's got a latent entrepreneurial streak in them? That wants to get out and do things. Go on, any hands up? A little bit of this? Paul,
yeah.
Come on, Paul.
I think the AATs will have a lot.
That's what I think,
you
too.
Know, if the way we behaved over the weekend, we're very open and you know, we're willing to take on new challenges.
Come on, who's got a business idea?
There's
go on,
a lot
put your
being
hand
modest.
Up. Yeah? Little one? Sarah, you got one? Jane, you got one?
Got
all right, okay, so there you go, you've already had it. Catherine? Probably, yeah, that's it. And I'm not going to put you on the spot by asking you what they are. That's not what we're going to be doing here. But it's just to say that at the end of the session, I want you to sort of go away and think, actually, I want to take that to the next step. Just have
or
another.
Even just give people a confidence, a better understanding of what they already perhaps do but didn't realise they were doing. I think that can often be the part of it.
Good with that. Jack?
I've got a little story you might like. It's quite short.
Okay.
You know, I'm part-time... tutor of AAT students, and when we're doing personal tax, you know, I sort of always sort of say, well, I bet none of you fill in a tax return. This year, I asked the same question, and one girl put her hand up. And that is actually, it's the one of the best students in the class, the one that passed all her exams first time, no problems, always works really hard. And she's also got another business. And she's only, well, because of the students I do, they're all on apprenticeships, so they're all sort of 19, 20, they're quite young. But she's already got her own business making and selling greeting cards.
Yeah. There you go.
So she has to fill in a tax return.
That's great. Yeah. So it's there,
so
isn't it?
So she's got that.
Yeah, she's got that. It's inside her, yeah, absolutely.
But it's also an example, isn't it, about not, you know, we were saying about when people come to you, not have preconceived ideas, isn't it? Because, you know, when you actually talk to people, we find out other things about them.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on, because we want to just keep an eye on the time, because we've got a little test for you in just a second here. So this lateral thinking is a sort of an empowerment. It's an increasing skill base. But it's also got these other things that really make good businesses. As businesses grow, you know, it's not just you and your Jack Jones, is it? It's all about teamwork, it's productivity, communicating to other people, and, of course, the big one, making profit. So we've been seeing that in this little spectrum, this little pilgrimage that we're going to be walking along. So how do you jolt yourself out? How do you make yourself think about things in an unusual way? Well, what Edward de Bono says is that you cannot be an innovative thinker in your same day-to-day groove. What you've got to do is to jolt yourself and jolt your brain. And the way that he said it most is travel. And I know that myself, because when I'm actually away, what I do, and I was showing this to Brian earlier, I've actually got some little, well, they're in my bag here, but I've got some little notebooks. And I find that when I'm away, I'm suddenly thinking about things in a new way that I never thought about before. And in order to capture the moment, I actually take a little notebook. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. And that's what de Bono's on about. He's actually jolted you. Your brain's been jolted by a change. And I find that when I'm sitting, you know, rather than sitting down on a sort of sun lounge or just soaking up there, I'm actually madly scribbling things. Wouldn't this be a good idea? Try that, try this. And it's absolutely right. And I didn't recognise it at the time. It was only when I read de Bono afterwards, I thought, oh, that's what he's saying. Because it's just putting you in an unusual environment. But he said, if you can't do that, then even try it. I mean, you know, most companies try away days, don't they? Or even just go home by a different route. Walk in a different way, you know, instead of taking the OXO cube, go walk, or instead of driving, you know, jump. It's just something completely different, so that you're actually jolting your brain into thinking about that.
And I mean, to give you an example, I mean, the AT within the council and his own staff uses a lot of the away day things to sort of work up, you know, a new idea to advance it very quickly.
Yeah.
Henry, you'd say it works very well.
It does. Do you find that? They're just out of that environment actually makes people, it jolts them. It's jolt thinking, and I like that as a concept, jolt thinking.
Carried through, though.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why we're going to be talking about this being part of the pilgrimage. It has to be carried through. I absolutely agree with that. Let's move it on. Who's tried that? Is it tried in the corporate environment? Well, actually, there are companies that actively encourage this. And guess what? They're very successful companies. Mm. Just have a look at that. Google, Innocent Smoothies, just put two examples. The Google offices, instead of having stairs and conventional stairs, they have things like slides. And you know, that's kind of like circus thing, where you actually go round and round. And so if you've got short skirts on, I imagine that might be a bit of a problem. But, you know, sort of, you know, you're going round. So to get from floor A to floor B, you just throw yourself down a chute. And it's like a water chute. And they say, do you want to have that for the AAT? Yeah, head first. Fantastic. Yeah. But the point is that that's the environment. It's a jolting environment, and it's permanently you're on jolt. And it's exactly the same with Innocent Smoothies. There was a great program on B2 about a month ago about Innocent Smoothies, and they've got exactly that environment. It's unusual, it's multicoloured, things aren't in the place you expect, and it's all about getting people to think about things in an innovative way. Was there a point over there?
I know, sir.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. So it has been tried, but it's all about this heightened thinking and different thinking. So how can we do that? How can we do that in our practice? Brian and I've got something which we're going to try out on you in just a second. But it's about time you work. Yeah, we've been doing all the work here. But you know, how can we improve profitability? How can I improve client satisfaction? And the bit I'm always keen about is how can we help clients in a more innovative way? Where some, I mean, I don't know about you, but
there's one other one as well, which is to say that, you know, the process that we do every day. No, perhaps we should challenge those as well, you know, just generally.
Yeah, the way we run files, the way we tell things. And so we're going to do that. But what I want to introduce you here, if you've not seen it before, again, Edward de Bono, but it's de Bono's Six Hats. And it's one of these major tools for actually jolt thinking you and getting you to think about things in a different way. And we're going to set you a little task just to see whether you can try it. But I want to explain it before we do it. Who's heard of de Bono's Six Hats? Anybody heard that? Yeah, a few of you nodding around the room. One or two, Paul. Yeah, a few nods. Yeah. So what I want to do, just for those of you who need a bit of a sort of an upgrade on this or reminding what's happening, Edward de Bono said that you can basically imagine a problem in front of you, and there are six hats with different colours. And you, in turn, pick up the hats. And some people, when they're running these as groups, they actually physically have hats where they put them on. And the hats are different coloured. And each colour makes you think in a different way. And then you attract the problem, you attack the problem simply by putting hats on. And let me explain what the hats are and what they do. So there are six of them. There are different colours. There's the yellow one, the sunshine one, the red one, the green hat, that's the creative one, the white hat which looks for facts, the critics, and the kind of cool, remove blue sky thinker. Mm. We're going to run through them in a second, but we're just going to, where we're on our way to is you looking at a problem which we're going to set you, and then for you just for a couple of minutes each, just to get the hats on, and then just jot some notes down on your slides here.
When we've gone through them, it's interesting to get a show of hands where people think they are already, because.
Exactly, yeah. So, but remember, what the jolt thinking is to make you think in different hats. Let me explain what the hats are first, just give a little bit more detail. Brian and I will run through these. Brian, do you want to take us through these?
Ooh, I was wondering, Brian and I thought, yeah, why not? Yeah. Yes. The red hats, that's the emotional one. As you can see from the board, it goes to hunches, intuitions, gut feelings. Probably not particularly the accountant sort of area.
No, that's right.
Probably see that.
It's one of those light bulb things, isn't it? You suddenly go, that'll work. That's a good business idea. And that's red hat thinking, isn't it? So I'm going to get you to think about that, but it's straight from the heart. You know, you don't worry about what people think, just slam it down.
Sort of thing you'd note down on your notebook, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's my notebook.
You're having a red hat moment.
I'm having a red hat moment, yes, absolutely. And what we're going to do, when we set you the little problem, then I'm going to get you all to put your red hat on for a couple of minutes. So that's the first one. In other words, here's a problem I'm trying to solve. Let's put a red hat on. Let's just fire from the hip and be completely uninhibited on it. Just write down what you think about it. That's the first one. Black hat.
You do the black hat.
Okay, I'll do the black hat one. This, I think, is the kind of the reserved, I don't think this is a very good idea sort of a hat. This is the you must be joking, and I'm very negative about the whole thing. And this is, you know, the instant reaction, Catherine, isn't the internet. What's that? Facebook, you must be joking, you must be barmy.
It's the old style account of the AATs
It's the old style, look at that, the old style account of the AATs on. So we're going to get you to put your black hats on, just be a bit critical about it, you know, just to say, I don't like this because, you know, I just think it's a saturated market, or there are too many doing it, or whatever the heck it is. So that's the black hat. The white hat is more kind of, well, accountancy stuff, really, isn't it?
Again. We've got to have facts. You know, it's accountancy tax, isn't it? You know, we've got to know, we've got to be safe. We've got to go and look it up in a book, or you know, without those sort of things, we're not going to proceed, really.
Yeah. Give me the facts. Give me the numbers. Give me the costs.
Where's the stats?
Yeah. Give me your business plan. Mm. That's a classic accounting stuff.
Ah, yes.
Gary Cooper again.
Yes. Yes. You've got a white hat.
My white hat
and a fez.
Yeah, and a fez. Yeah. It's a red hat.
The white hat fan of westerns. I must say that's innovative thinking.
Yeah.
I was going to say there's always one, isn't there?
There's usually Alex.
But you wouldn't. Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'm far too polite to say that. So when you put your white hats on to try to solve this problem in just a second, then think about that. You know, you want the objective information. You're looking for a business plan. You're looking for some numbers and so on and so forth. The blue hat is the sort of the overview one, almost the kind of slightly removed leadership type things. This is all about, we've got to make some decisions. I want an overview. How many people do we actually need to do this? Let's set some agendas. Let's actually look at the process by which this is going to happen. So these are the kind of the cooler top-end thinkers, the blue hats.
They still like structure.
Very much like structure.
Detached but like structure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and the last one, and I'm going to ask you what sort of hats you think you naturally fall into in just a second. These are the green hats, the so-called vegetation hats, which I think is a very good name. Green hat just means you're going out there and you're being intuitive, creative, yeah. You're looking for growth, ideas, kind of brainstorming stuff.
Anything's in till you can take it out. Really,
exactly, I like that. Anything's in till you can take it out. Yeah. So, before we set you on the task, does anybody think they fall into a particular hat? Or they tend to be a particular hat sort of thinker? Orange? So,
so we were right when we said that's a naughty chair rover.
So is that because you're a mix of red and yellow? Right. No, I'm good with that, actually.
I hate to admit it, but I was going to say that as well.
You're going to say orange, yeah. No, you don't have to be in one hat, because they do kind of merge, as you saw there. Yeah. But the effective thing is that some people naturally gravitate to one hat. Yeah. But what De Bono is driving at is that you've got to put that hat down and try the other hats on.
It's making you look at things from other people's perspectives, so that you don't just, you know, rule it out. And actually, if you're team builder or anything like that, then brings more respect to people see it.
It does.
In different ways.
Absolutely. So we're going to set you a problem, and then we're going to get you. There are two ways to run, a number of ways you can run De Bono. You can either do it individually, which I'll probably get you to do, or in loose groups, just say, what do you think? Because I want you to go through each of the hats for which Reed get the slides in front of you, and just when we approach this little problem, just to write a few things down, then we'll pull them at the end. And if you feel more strongly about one hat than the other, that's fine. Some people, when they run De Bono's hats, what they do is they get everybody doing what they call parallel thinking. In other words, everybody puts a yellow hat on for a couple of minutes, and they write everything down, and then you all change, and you put the blue hat on and so forth, and you just spend a couple of minutes. I'm relaxed about that, because I just want to play with it in this session, just to give you an idea of what De Bono's on about. So the problem that Brian and I have come up with is this. You've got a client that's come in who's putting together a business plan for a new chain of fast food outlets called Street Food. So they're coming up and saying, look, everyone's talking about street food, and I want to have street food. Do you agree in some cultures street food is really big? Yeah? I mean, look at this sort of, you know, Mexican street food, Indonesian, Chinese, Afro-Caribbean. Do you get the idea? We're almost the only people that don't make a culture and habit of it. And do you agree, when you go on holiday, street food is just wonderful, isn't it? And you just can't get it out. At least I love it. So this is your clients come to you and said, I'm thinking of doing street food. And they want to come and have a meeting. They want to talk about some of the issues. But what I want you to do is to De Bono this. I want you to six hats this. Mm. And it just in turn, and we'll just give you 5 or 10 minutes to have a go at it. Talk, you know, this is not a classroom environment. Ask us, talk to your friends. Mm. And just go through each of the hats in turn. So let's just go back to those. So you can go, there they go. You know, the red hats, just spend a couple of minutes writing the sort of things, you know, about the gut, how you feel about street food. Should it be one country's street food? Should it be lots of countries? Do you get the idea? And then if you can't think of anything, just go on to the next one. And then we're going to give you a couple of minutes per hat, and then we're going to pull it, and Brian and I are going to write them up the front and just get some ideas. Okay, so it's over to you for about six hats.
Are they working in a couple of groups?
You can work loosely in groups. I'm not bothered. You probably find it might be helpful to talk to each other.
Yeah,
just pull a few ideas. Just help the parallel thinking. So 2 minutes a hat. We'll stop you in about 12 minutes.
Should we tell them it's colours to do?
No, let them do it in any order that they want. Because I think it's just free form. That's great. Sparkling is my ears.
Yeah.
Thank you. say, would much like to be
and just, yes, and that thing of putting yourself in a situation. Yeah.
Right, ladies and gents, we're going to give another couple of minutes just to get your thoughts together, and then we're going to pull the ideas. So two more minutes.
One minute.
I said the girls were back home during this.
Going to, and I'm going to, yeah.
Right, if we're all ready again then. Oh, that's it. And the noise quietens down. We're going to start with the red hats. Mike's going to be scribe. And so let's have a look at someone who looks enthusiastic, wants to talk about the red hat side. Go for eye contact. Oh, I'm trying to avoid past presidents first. Come on, don't be shy.
Your yellow hat slide. I think you're missing your yellow hat slide there somewhere.
Yeah. It should be before
red. Boy.
Sorry, we had a problem with the slide deck a bit earlier on. One of the slides was.
Yeah.
But the sunshine is the kind of the optimistic. Yeah, sorry, apologies. There is one missing. This one is the optimistic. You know, it's the I feel good about this. You know, it's the one that I actually want to do. So it sort of follows on from the red emotional one. And remember that this is a spectrum. It's not just little pigeonholes here.
You see the opportunity.
Okay, so we start with red and then we'll go yellow.
The yellow one's in the notes as well.
Have you got Thank you, Dave. In the notes?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because they
I'll tell you what we'll have to do then. We'll have to apologise because we've got one slide now. I'll make that. So just shout out if you've got anything on red, gut reaction.
Yeah. Okay. Go on, you can start the ball rolling since it's so key.
On the red hats, then, my gut feeling, great name.
Great name. Yep, no, I like it. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Gut was good, though, for
Unhygienic.
Right. Yeah.
Go on. Actually, red hats?
Yeah, like that.
Well, I start thinking about food, really.
Flavours,
blends, recipes.
Okay, like that. Yeah, well, I'm just going to throw them down in any order.
There's some more over here. Mike?
There's already other people doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah, other people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Experience, not just function.
What will people pay?
Sorry?
What will people pay?
Yeah. Price. Okay, any other thoughts on red hat? Just you know, the
is it going to be handheld as it's street food when you just get it in your hand?
Well, not literally. Chicken tikka masala is a bit hot, really.
And it's soup.
Yeah, soup. Yeah, soup's a bit difficult.
Yeah, soup in a basket.
Yeah, soup in a basket. Okay, right. Is the UK ready? It's a bit like mind mapping, but the difference between this and conventional mind mapping is that De Bono is trying to put you into boxes on the thinking. Mm. So mind mapping is a bit more free form. It's just one big sheet of paper. Yeah. And we'll talk about that in a minute, and then we'll do a swap analysis on it. But this is just kind of of trying to push your thinking in a particular direction.
We found it difficult, though, to know which hat was which, because you're absolutely right, thinking, actually, that fits now over there, because we had the UK Ready Type one with a black hat.
But that's why you've just got to find from the hip on it, and you've actually got to put it in, even if it comes up two or three times. Again,
well, the same thing, you will come from different angles, won't it? Are we going to try for yellow?
Let's try for yellow.
Trying to look for some. Go on. Yellow?
It's going to be quick, it's going to be fast, it's going to save time.
Quick. Time saving, like that.
Outlet layout.
Sorry?
The outlet layout.
Outlet layout, yes, like that. Yeah. Well, you mean sort of an attractive layout, Victoria? Is that what you're going on? Go for that one.
You're putting yourself in the
close contact.
Everybody wants
film
because we're going to
film.
Fun.
Yeah,
they are. Tim sells
alfresco.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's alfresco's for a food buyer.
You're certainly becoming optimistic. High footfall. Is that the chance to do things with your
family as well?
Family opportunities, I like that.
If it was healthy, it could be aligned to sporting events and that sort of
sporting
thing.
Sporting events,
Festivals.
You're all now beginning to think proper stuff. That's good. That's great. That's absolutely brilliant. Now all of a sudden we've got some good optimistic stuff here.
But isn't that very AAT as well with optimistic people?
We could have said a lot of things about low fixed costs. Because all your rent and your market fee to pay. Once a week. Has anybody been to the there's a Whitecross Street, which is very close to Aldersgate Street, the World HQ for AAT, and just literally around the corner there's a street market that's got food in from about Thursday, Friday. It's called Whitecross Street, and it's literally 5 minutes from the World HQ, and it's absolutely brilliant. So if you want some street food ideas, that's why I thought this would be a good one, because I'm just walking through Whitecross Street. We'll try that. But it's really great. I'm a real fan of it. So go the next time you're up in London. Okay, so if there's other things we could have had in there, flexible offerings and all the rest of it, we'll get into that. But let's move on then. Apologies for that slide.
Right,
let's have some critical.
In
this country.
Several people talk about weather. I remember seeing weather, weather being one.
That's good, keep them coming.
High
failure rate.
That's the optimist, isn't it? Hot food, someone said. Yeah. Well, that's true.
That name, it sounds emerging.
Someone said. Someone said saturated market.
I better put there, save our savouries.
Yeah.
Litter.
Some people might feel if you had something where you went outside, so it was a bit like a rat, so you had all of it.
Sorry,
eat the outside. So you've got a pastry case or something,
so you
haven't got
to
into that
because
you're eating the case.
That's called a pasty.
It's been invented.
Go on, turn from.
The places to store your food and utensils.
Storage,
yeah.
Culture.
Are you talking about resistance to the difference in taste?
Saturated market, all that. You just got to free-form this, but it's in this kind of negative box. So it's different to mind mapping. Remember, mind mapping is just wide, big, pull a bit of the blinkers back. This is mind mapping, but it's in a more focused way. Okay, that's great. Let's carry on. Black hat. What about the white hat? Let's have some accountants, analytical stuff.
This is Gary Cooper.
Research.
We need a business plan, people.
We need a business plan.
I will.
Is it going to be franchised or is it going to be?
I like that.
Yeah.
That'll come up all at once.
Adaptions for summer and winter.
Summer
operations.
Winter variations. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to be offering hot soup on Midsummer's Day. You want nice, cool salads and all that kind of stuff.
Logo and
identity. Love that.
Staff training.
Staff training.
Staff training. That's a bit about process. That'll come up again. But just keep your ideas coming. Remember, these aren't... Mm. Oh, sorry, staff training.
Yeah.
That'll be in process, too. That'll be in as well. But
is it
going to
be the same all around the world? Are they going to pitch it for each country? Or
right, okay. Country variations.
Yeah. You're thinking big.
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry, permits and licences, yeah.
Supply chain.
Supply, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy wins during the learning curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Break even sales.
Yeah. Who are you going to target first?
Yeah.
Target customers.
What's your setup cost?
Yeah.
You see, you're all thinking properly now, that's great.
Yeah. Coming quicker than you can write, Mike.
That's great. Look, you know, we're not going to do this to death. I just want to get your reaction to it. But we're now, that's white hat stuff, that's great.
You've got the licenses and permits, right?
Licenses, permits, yeah.
When
are you opening your street food stand?
You found us out, yeah.
Absolutely. But we've got some great ideas. Explain to you just a second. Okay, that's great. White hat. What about the blue hat? This is the sort of getting down towards the end of this now. But
yeah, this is the one. This is the person who sort of sits back slightly and assesses.
It's
what
you put
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's good. What? Yes, you're
what
right.
What equipment do we need?
Yeah.
Remember, things could go in more than one hat.
The licences and permits
licenses
one that
and
will
permits
come up
again.
Raw materials.
Preparation of
food prep.
Food, yep.
What business?
Outlets or
franchise?
Yeah, franchise. Yes, outlets,
yeah.
Franchise. Yeah.
Yeah.
What resources do you need?
Resources.
Yeah. Purpose or identity.
Financing.
Finance. Yeah, you're all saying the right things here.
What kind of food are you going to make it different to different countries?
Yeah, I don't mind that again. I do have that's country variations. We've had that before, but as I said, they're not limited to one hat.
Skills and training.
Skills and training.
Yeah, the whole structure.
Yeah, exactly.
What matters to the customer? What matters to what they want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Customer needs and wants.
Yeah.
Brand, market research.
Price. You're all saying the right things.
What legislation?
Legislation.
When does it open?
Opening.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. well, actually, you'll get home to lunch. And
okay, last one then, as we get on down this, because we need to get through all our material there. The green hat is the sort of, sometimes they call the vegetation hat. I don't think it's a great title, but it's the real kind of, I almost say blue sky thinking, but it's the creative stuff.
The flair.
There's the flair, yeah, it's all makes your thing a bit different. Anybody come up with anything in green hats?
Wet wipes.
Yeah.
good start.
A chance to link with other groups, such as music groups and artisans and whatever, to make sure to
so it makes it something more
fun event.
Brand identity.
Is it food or how it's presented?
Food or how it's presented? And there's someone towards the back.
What if it was like food from around the world, so that you had like seven different things, and it was
theme
yeah.
Sort
yeah.
Of
yeah. World theme.
Sorry, Alexi.
Introduce people from a range of good food.
Yeah. Yep. Go on then.
Chopsticks.
Yeah.
You can have a knife and a fork on the other end too.
Ah.
Dragon's Den.
That's the best one so far. Innovative thing.
Make a note of that.
Make note of that. Henry's off to his IPA even as we speak. So that's a perfect thing, you see. What you've done is you've taken an idea and moved it 2 degrees to the right. And then that suddenly has got legs. There is a thing called a spork, which is a spoon. Have you seen the sports?
Yeah.
It's just one, and I may have got one in my bag there, but it's just one utensil. And it's got a kind of a sort of like spoon, two spoon ends, but one is a spoon, and one's serrated for a fork. So then a spork, so you're like, so that's something doesn't exist.
Right.
I'm just thinking, you could grow, in growth, you could grow what's currently being around, and that's the street party culture.
Right. Is that sort of on a country by country basis?
Doesn't matter. UK.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Are things that people send to people on the street are currently
Yeah, but I think so. Two or three people said, "What about sort of, you know, making like reggae sauce, the kind of the core of it, so you have more sort of Afro Caribbean Jamaican type food stuffs, you know, which everybody loves, don't they?"
It's got quite a young and funky feel, I think.
A young and funky feel?
that kind of bargain.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, he started at the carnivals, didn't he? On the streets.
That's the chili.
Yeah, he's being sued at the moment, so I'll come on to that. I'll explain why.
Do you blend different
areas
fusion?
Ooh. Funky fusion.
So you've got
your one street offering, one big bowl. Layers of all these different
work your way down.
Right at the bottom is a chicken tikka masala and a black velvet sausage. All being compressed. Start the top and work. It's like the ultimate pasty offering. No, don't go there.
So,
there's an idea.
Okay, so that's pretty much how the green hats work. But do you agree, folks? It's like mind mapping, but it's mind mapping in pieces, in very precise.
You're in silos, aren't you?
Yeah, in silos. Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what De Bono is all about. Now, I think putting you into very loose and informal groups was good, but I'm amazed by the number of things you shouted out on that. And do you take the point as the power of what he called parallel thinking? You get everybody thinking at the same time. You know, you fill your screen really very quickly indeed. Mm. So there you go. That's the first thing. That's quite an important, that's probably the most important technique for innovative thinking. Okay, we've talked about that, so I don't think we need to carry on with that one. But I think about using mind mapping. Mm. We could have done the whole thing on one sheet, positive and negative. You know, we could have said here, street food, couldn't we?
Yeah.
And we could have had lots of things going off here, like hygiene was something one or two people said, so health and safety, then we've got local councils, you know, and there are all sorts of things. You just start to put everything you want there, sort of brand and identity, which I think was something that came up quite a lot, intellectual property protection, you know, you can shout the whole things out. And mind mapping is great. I'm a great mind mapper.
You can sort of put the two together, can't you, which is, you know, yeah, where you're coming from.
It's almost that you could, if you wanted to, some people run a mind map first, mm-hmm, and then get you to redo the exercise through De Bono, mm-hmm, which I quite like.
But I don't know if you'd be so like objective on a mind map as you would if you, mm-hmm, actually have to look at the pitfalls of something. Mm-hmm. Generally with a mind map, you're more, it's more, don't you think?
It's more biased. I understand exactly what you're saying, but I would put it in different words. It's biased, because if you are a very positive person, you're only going to shout out positive things, aren't you? Whereas if you're a negative person,
it's making you look at different...
Yeah.
Exactly. I think De Bono is the more powerful tool. Yeah. But it's like all these things, you just have to get used to it. You have to do it a couple of times before you actually start to get the strength of it. But these are standard tools. And when I teach in one of the Kaplan business schools on their HE course, on their MBA course, and we do this as standard. You know, De Bono is a standard tool now on our MBAs, about one of all people's MBAs. Right, okay, keeping an eye on the time now, we've got about half an hour to run. Right, I think we've pretty much covered that, Brian, haven't we? So quick coverage of an idea here. And what we're going to try and do now is to sort of put that in a little bit more of a context. We're going to walk a bit further down the Pilgrim path now, and we're going to say, okay, we've got this basic idea, and we're going to put it into context by using some of the other more standard tools. So we've done the De Bono and the mind mapping, but now we want to move down the road a bit and actually use it. Because remember, the theme of this is innovative thinking and its application. So we're going to try and apply that now. And so what Brian and I are going to do now is to just quickly run through these. Mm. And we're going to get you to do exactly the same thing, but with a SWOT analysis.
How many people have used SWOT analysis?
Right, so you're quite
sorry?
Only for doing AAT exams.
Ah!
Are you all happy that a SWOT is simply, it's like a mind map in boxes again, and you're looking at internal issues and external issues in a potential business? And what I mean by that is that these top two are the internal issues. In other words, what are our strengths? We're going to start up street food. What are we good at? What are our strengths? And what are our weaknesses? So the top two, you can band together and say those are the internal issues. And these are the external issues at the bottom. Mm. Both of them.
In other words, if we set up, it costs very little to set up, somebody else could copy us, somebody could nick out, they could change the name, and instead of calling it street food, they could call it market food. And I've noticed in the paper in the last 2 or 3 weeks, a lot more people talking about market food. You know, again, I'm just moving the idea along a bit. So what I'd like you to do now, just for a couple of minutes, and you know, just work on your own or work as a group, I don't mind. Could I just ask you to do a quick SWOT analysis of street food? Just in those things. What are our strengths? And you just got to imagine this is you.
I mean, you can look at some of the things you put under the hats and think, well, how will they plug into the SWOT analysis to help you?
No.
Right. So about 5 minutes tops on a SWOT analysis. But again, talk to each other if you wish.
So they didn't hear you saying at the last stage whisper, who's that wanker at the back? He was asking those stupid questions. I think they're great. Sometimes it's really hard work, isn't it, for them actually getting there. Do you want to do this one? You do this one. Okay. Well, I'll shut up. You just cull it in. Yeah. They are engaged with it, aren't they? Yeah. You'll always get the one cynical bastard who just won't do it. But I mean, you know. We should have given them the end of them some slides.
They used to, I mean, it's all a bit Swiss.
I think it's important that you know, you have interactive sessions, and it's just because if nothing else, it's part of networking and hearing other people talk. And I don't know about you, but if I've got a business idea and I'm in a room, I get a huge amount out of hearing other people talk about it because it's their perspective, isn't it?
Well, I'm doing this one. I
Yeah. Fine. You do whatever way you feel comfortable. See what works. Yeah. But we just want to pick up. Yeah, just say, give us a, okay, we'll go around the room. Somebody give me a point on strength. And then anyone else got on strength, and I'll jot them down on what are our weaknesses. Because sometimes I think it's worth pointing out that they could be a weakness, like staff can be both a strength and a weakness. And they'll say, well, sometimes they go, I'm confused, which block does staff go to? Well, it could be both. Potentially a weakness. So staff can be both a strength and a weakness. They can really make your business, but they can let you down as well. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I hate going into a place and they say, "What's your name, Steed? First name, Michael. Hi, Michael. Come this way. Sorry, Mr. Steed." You know, and I don't want them to make the automatic presumption that they can call me Michael. Or they come in, you know, you go into this thing and they say, "Hi, guys." And I turn to one of my children, who's called Guy, and said, "Oh, they know your name, Guy." And that always discombobulates them because they don't know what to say then. Yeah. I don't want to be called Guys. Sorry, Guys, but don't call me Guys. Right, okay.
Give
him 1 more minute, yeah.
Okay, then we'll...
We've got to go through all the other stuff as well, but you know, yeah. That's perfect. We're absolutely bang on time. No. I think it's just good to get them in informal groups and get them thinking about it. I'm amazed. Yeah, exactly. No, parallel thinking would be good to get everyone to say, right, yellow hat, go. and the more natural yellow hatters will obviously take the lead. But it's the power of, you know, it's the team, isn't it?
Right.
Okay.
Okay then.
Make sure you're not muted.
I am
muted.
Right. Okay. Gosh, aren't we well behaved? No, you can't leave now. Right, so you definitely can't leave now. If we start to pick these off, if I can get one suggestion from each people around the room, call them out. We'll start off with the strengths, and we'll start over in the left-hand side. Any idea on strengths? Want to call one out? Gap in the market.
Is that an opportunity or a strength? I wonder if that's an opportunity, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Hunt said a gap in the stomach.
I like that. Low startup costs. I've just had shouted out to me here, Brian.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Versatile.
Oh, it's strength. Brand is
new.
Yeah. Mobile. Yeah, adaptable. These are all...
On the line between strengths and business, is
sat on
the line scalable business?
Scalable, it's on the line.
It's the one that the dragons always ask, isn't it? Is this a scalable business?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No overheads. If none would be even better, but low, yeah. Yeah. Cash rich, yeah. It could be, yeah. Yeah, or it's cash generating business, so yeah. Quick starter.
Commitment to the proprietors.
Commitment to the proprietors.
Easy to fill.
Is this innovative thinking going on then?
Who said that?
Sally, our XAAT member, who will be seen. Who's going to be listed in the professional way shortly.
He's just been referred to the Standards Committee. Right, any other strengths?
Fast, convenient.
Fast.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Convenient, you're saying all the right things.
And easy to replicate.
Yeah, venient.
You're not expecting us to spell that one, are you?
No.
you're going to be able to set the price points.
Price,
yeah.
Are you?
Well,
Stephen, are you? Are you a price taker or a price maker?
I think you're a price maker, because if you're selling lager or steak and kidney pies, there's a product there that you've got to make your price work to. You're choosing a price point because it's not a known item. Deciding what your inputs are to
I think you can argue either way.
I think you could argue that either way.
See, if you're a totally different food product, there's no one else, then you set your own price, perhaps.
But if everyone else is paying £3 for their lunch and you're setting your price point at £7.99, you're dead.
Depends on barriers.
You're absolutely dead.
Sorry?
That's on The Apprentice, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, they just failed. They failed to understand their price point.
Go on, one more.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got the overheads. Good margins, Right, let's move on.
Into weakness.
You can control your overheads in this.
Fine, control your overheads. Okay, we'll move into, say, weaknesses now.
Staffing,
yeah, quality of staff. Yeah. Hygiene.
Litter. Wastage.
Brand
recognition.
Lack of brand recognition.
You don't know who your customer base is.
You don't know who your customer base is.
Storage of your stock.
Storage, yeah. Transportation, because
a lot of UK people just won't do it, so it's the culture.
Lazy UK gits.
Mike, I'm not quite sure that's how it was
it's
said.
It's the technical expression. Yeah. How we're perceived in the world labour market, Brian. Right, okay. Yeah. Okay, what else?
Go on. Oh, sorry, Alexi. Alexi first, and then.
Yes,
go on. No, Alexi, you do yours first. Yeah. Well, that raises an interesting point that which was going to come up at some point, that a lot of things that are a strength or a weakness can actually
they don't necessarily just fall in one box.
We were talking, Mike and I were talking about confidence can be a strength, but it can also be arrogance, which can be a weakness. So,
Okay, that's great.
Lack of equipment made especially for that market because it's new, but that is going to be an opportunity for somebody else.
to make the kit. Yeah. 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 Mind you, most of that street food kit is pretty basic, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Daphne?
No business plan yet.
Yeah.
Would
you like?
Just keep shouting them out.
Right, okay, we're into opportunities now.
Yeah, opportunities. Oh, sorry, that's a...
Joint ventures with...
Right. Yeah, that's definitely joint ventures.
JVs, yeah.
That's definitely... Sorry, I heard some...
Franchise like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Special events, yeah, so that's good.
Got a Jubilee coming up, things yeah. like that.
Jubilee masala.
Sorry, whatever it is.
Jubilee bucket.
Trends. Oh, right, yeah. Trends, spotting trends.
Trends.
Sorry. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but so, sorry, I heard one over here somewhere.
So Tide merchandise, yes.
Like cookbook.
Yeah. So you sort of stretch it.
Yeah, it's like Leon's cookbook, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, great. Right, threats.
One more.
Pop-up parties.
Pop-up anywhere, a festival party.
Right. That's almost special events, isn't it?
Yeah, or you could put it into a more modern context where, you know, get
flash right, mode. Threats. Competition,
yeah, natural one. Sorry, I didn't. Got weather, legislation, rules and regulations. Well, not on this cash business fiddling over here, you know. Well, you meant that, yes. Well, she's already at the AAT, now she's been to, she's got an inquiry as well. Yeah, you could do the threat, yeah. Health risk, yeah, very much health risk.
Easy to copy.
Yeah. Do you, how long will it sell?
Old hat. Yeah, licenses. Yeah, yeah, we've got that competition.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's great.
Great.
IP.
Yeah.
IP stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. They could say. Right, that's great. That's exactly what we're looking for. I'm just looking at the time now. We've got about 15 minutes to run. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to do all of our slides here, but that's absolutely great. And again, do you agree? We've done some innovative thinking, but then we've moved it down the path a bit to begin to think about a business model here and how we're going to actually put this one on the street. Good things about SWOTs, it's a good place to start. It makes you think about it. It's a very straightforward tool. It's good for brainstorming. But when you get down to the level of to some detail, you can't keep repeating it because it is actually quite simplistic, and it gives you kind of average answers because, you know, people don't want to stretch it too much. You can sectorize it to make more sense. In other words, it's too broad on its own, and once you get into the detail, the argument is that the SWOT, you need to break it down a bit. There's also problems with bias, and then of course people say, well, how do you actually use it? You know, what do you do with it? But I'm all right with that. I think you just turn it on. And again, on that same path down towards the end of this session at 12:45, do you all remember Porter's Five Forces? Mm-hmm. Sort of standard business tool there. You've got to think about, you know, the people think, well, surely there are only four, but the other one is the rivalry within the sector. We've already talked about that. It's easy to replicate. New market entrants, the power of buyers, the power of suppliers, and product and technology developments. I mean, that one, I mean, just look how much research in motion has suffered since the arrival of the smartphone. I mean, have you seen the share price of the people who make BlackBerry, RIM?
Yeah.
Have absolutely gone through the floor. Nokia, exactly the same. You know, Apple takes all. It's an interesting thing. I mean, we haven't got time to explore that one because we're doing this in particularly in the context of street food. But on the business model, that's getting it from the innovative thinking to its application. Don't forget the SWOT. Don't forget Porter's Five Forces. But I want to actually, as we go on through this, is to ask about, you know, who uses this and how is it used? Let's have some examples on that. And of course, the obvious thing, isn't it, to actually look at entrepreneurs and see what makes them special. I mean, is there are they born or are they made, or you know, do they all have to be like Richard Branson's, where it's flowing through their blood, or Alan Sugar, or can we actually encourage our clients and indeed ourselves to be a bit more like that? What do you think? Can you make entrepreneurs? Or do you think it's an intuitive born thing? You either are or you're not.
Which one? Show of hands on this one,
too.
Your
ability of how much risk you'll take.
Yeah. It is a lot to do with risk, Sarah, isn't it? Yeah, whether you're risk averse or whether you're... Do you think entrepreneurs are more sort of risk-oriented?
Yes.
They are, aren't they? They're I've got to have more courage to go with it, yeah.
More optimistic.
Yeah.
More optimistic. And they've got to understand the whole thing about risk more as well, haven't they?
Paul.
I heard a definition of good luck, and that's where preparation meets opportunity.
Hmm. Preparation meets opportunity, yes, good luck, yeah.
John Blue.
Thanks, John. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. And actually, on that point about luck and all the rest of it, you know, the classic one where somebody comes up to a very rich person like Richard Branson and says, well, you are very lucky. And he says, funnily enough, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
That was the, isn't it Gary Player?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And they all say that. It's his kind of hack. But it just says that it's not just the innovative thinking, it's the sheer doggedness and determination on the M part of this to actually put it.
And what, because you're doing it more, what you learn from it that helps hone your skill.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think it's
serial failure, but you know, you've got to learn from your failures, and then you will.
And that's absolutely right. And we'll talk about James Dyson in a second, but it took him 25 years to get that Hoover on the market.
They don't have a fear of failure. That's the point.
That's very important.
Yeah.
Catherine.
Very true.
Catherine, I'll talk to you afterwards.
I told you that
we don't want a domestic here, Catherine. So do you mind? Right. Okay. But it's certainly true that you know there are people with entrepreneurial characteristics, and you know, and these sort of things: self-confidence, self-reliant, innovative. Of course, that's the key thing for this session. Versatile. It's personal need to achieve. All of those things they make the entrepreneurs that we kind of know. But also, look at this one: they're persistent. They're very hardworking. They've got a positive attitude. We've already identified this one, Brian, haven't we? The willingness to take risks.
Yeah.
The willingness to take risks, and also at the end of the day, they've got to be financially literate. Who watches Dragon's Den? My kids love Dragon's Den. And did you agree most people get destroyed on the numbers?
Yeah.
Really, so, to us, would be as simple as pie. Yeah. So how much have you done in this business? Oh, I did 30,000 last year. Is that profit or turnover? Complete collapse.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? They literally dissolve.
They just dissolve in front of you because they haven't got a grip. No, we did 30,000 last year. Profit or turnover? Complete blank.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's where we come in. You know, we understand that. So you've got to be financially literate. Obviously, the willingness to make decisions and live with your mistakes. Remind yourself, entrepreneurs, they are very innovative thinkers, they're great risk takers, but they almost never talk about their failures. And there's a lot of failures before you get a success. So there are a lot of things in there. I think we've had a look at that to see, you know, where you see problems, entrepreneurs see opportunities. And again, it's seeing that innovative moment, writing those things down on the piece of paper. And it's that sometimes they call it, out of red, seeing red. Instead of seeing red, make bread. You know, because if you see a problem, that's an opportunity, and that'll turn it into money. So there are all sorts of things in there that do that. And there's that keeping a notebook, which you have to record your flash thoughts on. I really find that helpful. Okay, well, I'm just looking at the time now. We've got about 10 minutes tops here.
Yeah.
And the good examples of turning problems into opportunities, I mean, what all these cathode ray tubes TVs that are basically on their way out, I mean, where are they going to go?
Yeah.
Is there any value in that? You know, we've got lead in the screen and all the rest of it, which gives you a problem. But do you see, that's a problem. Do you remember the old fridge mountains and the capturing of the CFCs and all that? There were problems, but what we've got to do is to turn problems into opportunities. And that's what people do. They turn that little idea just 2 degrees to the right. I've got some examples here, waste computer equipment, mountains of waste cardboard. You know, if we'd have had a longer session here, we could have played with those. And I won't do that. But I just want to do a couple of things before we begin to close off. I just want to talk about the way that your head works and the way that you see things. And the question is obviously this one, which is when we see something, when we hear clients talk, when we hear their ideas, is there some kind of preconditioning on our part that stops us from seeing the opportunities?
This is where we came in at the beginning.
Which is where we came in right at the beginning. And the way that it works, I mean, you know, every time you sort of see something, you know, an external event, what your head does, this is the way that the psychologists reckon it, that your head has got filters in it which either delete things, distort things, or generalise things. And so, you know, it's almost your preconditioning, sort of bit of nature versus nurture here. But, you know, oh, I don't like that, I've never liked that, I hate the internet. You know, I got electrocuted once, and therefore I hate anything to do with electricity. Whatever, electricity-fied, as they said in Dad's Army. But in other words, all of the things like, you know, in your background, your language, and so on and so forth, the upbringing you've got, it does tend to colour and distort. So when you see things like that...
What do you see?
What do you see? I'll let Brian take this one.
Yeah. What do you see? Well, there you go, yes. Yes. Someone's got a parking problem.
Someone's shot the parking bay, yeah. Hit the boat, pushed it out of it.
Yeah.
It's a great boat opportunity.
That's not a bad joke about all the
drivers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to say?
Do you agree that what you've got here is this preconception that she's the driver of the vehicle, because it's women drivers? Do you get the idea? But then when you start to think about it, you think, well, actually, how do you know she's the driver of the vehicle? Well, she's got some keys in her hand. She's actually waving the keys here if you look carefully, and then you say, well, that just reinforces what I thought was women drivers. But then you might say, well, actually, it's not her. She and her husband came past and they saw this car precariously perched. And she said, oh, take a picture and I'll stand here. And they've just parked their vehicle just over the side there.
She doesn't have a handbag, she doesn't have anywhere to put a key.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's right. Then, which might suggest that it's actually in there because she's the driver of the vehicle.
She doesn't look wet enough for that.
She doesn't look quite wet enough. But how did the car get there in the first place? I mean, why hasn't it completely overshot and actually pushed it out?
Yeah.
Which country is it in? Got a flag on there, suggests it's the USA, yeah. Is it a left-hand drive or right-hand drive? It's a left-hand drive, so it's obviously not in the UK, is it? So, well, exactly.
Yeah, but you see, there's preconceived ideas.
There's preconceived ideas that she's the driver.
No, you've said that, oh, it's got to be in the US because it's got a US flag and it's a left-hand drive car, but it may not be at all.
No? It might be Croatia and just a visiting vehicle. But do you take the point as we begin to close down on the session that, you know, we kind of see things and we get flash reactions to them. Mm. But what we've got to do when we're looking at business ideas for our clients or for ourselves, we've got to look past that. It was Brian's bit about and Catherine's bit about you must be mad. And then you've got to stop yourself and say, no, let's do a little bit of innovative thinking here. That's the real key.
Or even if you can't get it, just respect the fact that someone else does get it. I think you can't always get everything. Yeah.
Can you see a heart in that, a 3D heart?
Yeah?
Is the heart standing out, or is it a cave made in a heart shape? It's one of those things where you've got to relax your eyes and let them go parallel and move the roses over to each other, and suddenly you get a 3D image.
You get quiet.
We'll perhaps come back to that, but it's just the way that you've got to let your brain sort of almost go to see things. I'll come back to that because we've only got about 5 minutes left now. But Brian, you take on.
Oh, this one, yes. Yeah, can you see a face in there?
If you can see a face, don't shout it. Just put your hand up.
Yeah.
Can you see a face in those beads?
Take a while.
Yeah. Put your hand up once you've seen it.
Yeah. And those that have seen it, you haven't seen this before. No, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Can you see a face in those beans?
I couldn't.
Okay.
Bell. Right.
Okay, take them through.
Right. Okay, I think best way, I pointed at it. Just down there. It's so obvious when you see it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's down here, look.
Yeah.
I know what your brains were doing. You were trying to form a nose here, weren't you? And an eye. And like those vegetable men. That's the point. You've got to let your brains go. You know, you've got to, and some people are naturally better at it than others. But that's what we're trying to get you to do, is to think in these unusual ways. To think in these unusual ways. And because we've only got a couple of minutes left, what I think we're going to do now is we'll go over these. We're just going to have a look at the entrepreneurs. So there's some stuff there about successful people and innovative thinking. Yeah, we've got literally just a couple of minutes to run before we go. But we're going to leave most of these as reference slides, so we haven't got time to do this in detail. But we've just thought up of some people who actually had a dream, people like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates and Peter Reed from Innocent, you know, who actually just wanted to bring these things to fruition. And so I think the idea is just to recognise as we close off now that it's not just innovative thinking. It's innovative thinking to stress test the idea and then to influence people, which we had to jump over because we ran out of time, and then to actually look at the track record. So we're not going to go on any further than that now, but just remember these people, they didn't set out to be multimillionaires. They actually set out to have a, they had a dream, and they just wanted to make that dream work. Oh, and by the way, they got very rich at doing it as well.
Yeah,
it's quite an important point there. Right, folks, I think we're pretty much out of time, so I think we'd better go and get some lunch. So, Henry.
Thank you.
Thanking Michael and Brian for that. That was really thought-provoking and quite inspirational too. Michael, I do keep a little book to note things down, and I think it's a case of going that further stage and actually taking that stage further sometimes, isn't it? Perhaps inspired you all to perhaps have a little think about your businesses or businesses that you work in, and forgot to do that, and to carry things through. Okay, lunch will be provided in the terrace restaurant on the ground floor now. So if all, well, it says here all delegates can refer to the slide, but there isn't one. You should have in your packs somewhere, I think, where your next session is. You need to be back in the appropriate room at 1:45, okay, for your afternoon sessions. Okay, so join the mad rush for the restaurant now. See you all down there. Thanks a lot. Well done, guys. Good.